Would you please rise and stand for the reading of God's Word? Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 20. It is a story found only in Luke's Gospel of what a wonderful thing it is when gratitude breaks through self. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed." The word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Thank you, Elder. Sometimes it's just good to stand for the gospel and let our body pay attention. We're starting today this few conversations on what makes for gratitude. What's the nature of gratitude? How do we live there? Have you ever wondered where gratitude comes from? Really, how is it some days it's within reach and some days it seems not to be? I find myself there from time to time and wish I could live in that place more often than I do. For gratitude is not so much something that shows up effortlessly, but more it needs to be cultivated and coaxed and invited into us, even worked for. Diane Butler Bass wrote a great book called Grateful, which one of you recommended to Dale and I, and has inspired us to think a little bit about some nuances of gratitude. How do we express it individually? How do we express it together? And it's kind of a springboard for us thinking about stewardship in our life over these weeks of October. Anyway, in Diana Butler Bass's book, Grateful, which we highly recommend if you want to pick up something great to read this month, she makes a story, a little aside, about her dog. And it set me to thinking about a dog story in my own life. See, Jane and I have always been dog people. Always had a couple of choice mongrels from the local shelter as part of our family. And I remember when we brought Boris home. Tom, do we have an image of Boris there? Who couldn't love that face? Boris is a mix of, we're not really entirely sure what, but he kind of claimed us when we went looking over animals at the shelter a few years ago. But you need to know that when we brought Boris home, we'd only had him a day or two, had his bed set up, you know, kind of getting the routine down. There was a crack in the door, and he bolted out the door. He'd hardly even learned his name yet, so shouting Boris after him seemed kind of futile, looking back on it. And as much as we shouted, he never turned back to give us any recognition. He was gone. Oh, even though we had our phone number on his dog tags, as you're supposed to do, we stressed because we lived next to a busy road. What was going to happen? Is he going to get hit by a car? Or was it just going to keep on running until he got into the next county? He didn't know what his home was. So we shouted up and down the neighborhood, really to no avail. But within a couple of hours, the phone rang. And it was a couple who lived in a farmhouse about a mile away across our subdivision. They had our boy. The lost had been found. They were kind people, this couple, having held on to our guy by the collar, even though they confessed that he had tried to consume their cat. We were so ecstatic and grateful that our pet was okay, even though we could have chosen anger at the inconvenience and the stress that we felt that day, but somehow we went to gratitude. I wonder if perhaps we humans are most aware of gratitude when we've brushed up against loss and made it through. Anybody relate? Many of us were taught as children to mouth the words thank you, saying thanks to the nice lady. But saying thanks can be little more than a forced obligation. Have you ever been in those moments? Kind of like the high school senior who's forced by his parents to sit down and write thank you notes to every single person who came to your graduation open house until his hand cramps from the writing. Now, there might not be much gratitude in that act, that writing assignment, but then again, there might be. For in doing the work of outward thanks, sometimes is what it takes before we sense some real inner gratitude. I think that is very important. I'm thinking about a ministry group in our building, Justice for Our Neighbors. It's a great thing that happens. Their offices are just right off the balcony up there. Their mission is to give counsel and legal advice to people who are navigating a citizenship process into our country. Well, just lately, there was a Romanian woman who Jayfon gave some helpful advice to, coached her along the way, came alongside her as she was seeking permanent residency in our country for some health issues. So this woman, this Romanian woman, baked this huge, elegant, delicious cake to give as a gesture of thanks to the Jayfon staff. The cake was so big, they gave some pieces to the rest of the staff, and it was really good. But what I want to tell you is that in her culture in Romania, the proper way to give a gift at such moments is to see that you make it yourself and not give something store-bought, for that unveils the true depth of what you're wanting to give in gratitude, that you really mean it from the bottom of your heart to the point that you made it yourself. Now, that's not rocket science. Haven't we all managed to give a gift that came from our own hands or something we labored for? And it meant more coming from them than what we picked up at Target on the way home. It costs you something. This is a radical idea, but also pretty obvious. Instead of just raking in gifts that seem to fall from the sky and call that gratitude, I confess to too many Christmases in my life growing up where there was just the plethora of gifts that kept coming. And 10 minutes later, I wasn't sure who gave me which gift. But there's a deeper gratitude that comes from being clear that in my thankfulness, I will work to express it. I will be focused on thanking the giver, even though it all belongs to God in the first place. So we have this story in the gospel today, which is so intriguing, where 10 men who suffered from a social pariah disease called leprosy get healed by Jesus one day, and one of the 10 has the presence of mind to turn around and thank God in the presence of Jesus, for Jesus is the closest manifestation of God he could see. Did you hear the way Luke, the storyteller, opens the story? It's a great line. On his way to Jerusalem, a lot happens in Jerusalem, but Jesus is not there yet. Jesus is crossing the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, it's not the only time he's done that. Remember, woman, Samaritan well? There's other stories where he tells that. Crossing the border between Samaria and Galilee. Hint, whenever we hear that Jesus is crossing a land boundary, get ready for him to topple some sacred cow, especially when it has to do with who's in and who's out. Samaritans were second-class citizens to the Jews. Among other things, they thought God was most present on a different piece of land, a different mountain than what the Jews thought. There had been violence between the groups. Definitely, Jews did not care for their Samaritan neighbors. But in this story, it's the Samaritan who ends up being the hero in the story. Oh, Jesus loved to mess with his audience. Well, adding to this unlikely hero, who's showing us a thing or two about what do you do in gratitude, the central character is also doubly cursed because he has this disease, leprosy. It was contagious. It was a terrible thing. This outlier Samaritan and this gang of other nine people were disfigured. They were required to wear special clothing so that from a distance you knew you were approaching a leper. And when they were moving through public spaces, they were required by law to shout out like sounding a horn, "Unclean, unclean!" And on this day, they happened to come across the rabbi healer, Jesus. And they start shouting at the top of their lungs, "Have mercy," because they know about him. They've heard stories. I want you to get this. They start advocating for their cause. "Have mercy, we know who you are." And Jesus doesn't just say, "Okay, you know I'm the Christ, you gave me recognition, kabow, you're healed." He doesn't do anything miraculous like that. He rather gives them this interesting assignment. Go to the priests. Because in that culture, the priests were the ones who could name you as now socially welcome and no longer an outcast. It fell uniquely to the priest to say that. And so, of course, if Jesus had their well-being in mind, he would want the gatekeeper priest to be able to pronounce that. So off they go. And as they went, they began having an awareness that some kind of transformation was happening, inside as well as out. Their skin was clearing up. Their gaping sores were closing. Just think about that moment. Maybe disbelief, maybe it's the greatest gift that could have happened. Suddenly, prospects of hope start opening up for them. Ideas, maybe employment is now possible. Reuniting with my family I've had to be apart from. Strangers now will look at me without disgust in their face. They probably fell over one another trying to be the first one to the temple to get their clean bill of health. Wouldn't you? Except this one, Samaritan, who when he saw that he was being healed, he turned back. He praised God. And then with a loud voice, he got next to Jesus and he prostrated himself, which is the most humble posture a Jew or anyone could have, where you lay down on the floor face down, is a way to, in as stark a contrast as possible, say, "Who I am thanks and glorifies what you are doing for me." What an act. And in the case his audience had forgotten, Luke, the storyteller, talking to his Jewish audience, so for that who he was writing to, flaunts it in their face with the line, "And the man was a Samaritan." Dun, 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 dun. The other nine didn't come back. Tom, show up that image there. I like this one image I Googled, kind of pondering and wondering. We don't know what people in that story look like, but here's kind of a theatrical representation of it. Might it have been like that, looking in the face of the one who's being healed? You know, I love it that Jesus did not badmouth the other nine who didn't show up. I want you to think about that. They must have had their reasons for wanting to get on with their lives. See, nobody should ever be shamed for not mouthing the words, thank you. And if you're here today and you're not feeling the love, or it's hard for you to come up with a great list of gratitude because life has just been too hard lately, I want you to know that is absolutely okay by Jesus. Entering gratitude is never some debt and duty. It's not supposed to be. Rather, it's this gift, it's this grace that sometimes we have the presence of mind to be there. Frankly, I am bothered when well-meaning Christian people perform some act of mercy, or maybe we get together and we deliver a bunch of Christmas gifts to the identified family in need. And at the end of the night, as folks are coming back to the church to get in their cars, somebody in that well-meaning Christian group says something like, you know, I didn't hear any of those people say thank you. You ever been there? You ever been the person uttering those words? Notice, Jesus did not require it, so neither should we. Our work, our spiritual work, is to not act nice or even generous so it elicits thank yous from other people. Rather, our work is to keep cultivating our own sense of gratitude. How much more could we live in gratitude this year than we did last year? So that it results in us giving away more than we take in, because, friends, that's the point of gratitude. Gratitude is no obligation, but it does appear to be a sign of liberation for people who are spiritually awake. I want you to know I had a powerful sacred moment as your pastor yesterday. I went to the home of Dave Lather. Dave is a lifelong member of Central Church, and he's in advanced stages of prostate cancer now, and knows that his days on this planet are getting pretty limited. But being with Dave and his son and daughter and their partners in the living room, Dave in his hospital bed looking out into the beautiful leaves changing out back, I heard a man talk about how grateful he is for the life he has lived. And he said it a couple of, how could I ask for more than what I've been given? And I saw in his kids that they modeled that too. There was this vibe, this radiance of love in the room. There was not the moaning and weeping that life is being cut too short. There was the gratitude for what had been given so far, in a way that I have no doubt that his children will be living that value in themselves. It was a holy moment to be there. And I had this sense walking out after we shared communion and a little intimate service together, that Dave probably did not arrive there this week in gratitude. That was the cultivation of a life lived with others and for others across his adulthood. Now, I'm not holding someone up as being saint. We're all human and have our foibles. But I do think that's the way gratitude works. The traits that we intentionally embody now will continue to serve us and show itself toward the end of this journey too. It was a wonderful, wonderful moment. So Luke ends his miraculous healing story that we heard Eldon read earlier. Notice how the punchline, how it ends. It's not with a bunch of people gathering around the lepers in disbelief that their skin somehow looks supple and fresh where it once was sore and scarred. No. It ends with this real intimate moment. Jesus and the Samaritan, as Jesus offers this benediction over him. Why don't you get up, buddy? Stand. And go on your way and live your life. For from what I see, it's your faith that's made you whole. So, for you and me, pondering gratitude, my challenge to us all is that we would work toward gratitude. Maybe you don't feel it. You know, if we consider, maybe gratitude is not so much the emotion landing on us, but it's the result of us focused on how making life good and responding to the good that's coming to us builds a world where gratitude is easier to be in. Two walkaways that I'd like us to think about, two kind of actions. One is what's about to happen at this table. I'm so proud of our denomination that we have held it as important that this table is open to everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a member or not, if you come here feeling pious or agnostic, you're welcome to this table and these signs of grace. And in my research this week, I came upon something I knew years ago and had just forgotten. That for we Protestants, we refer to this as a memorial meal, as Holy Communion. Our Catholic brothers and sisters more often use the term Eucharist, but it really is the same. It's the connection to Christ viscerally on our taste buds. And in Greek, the word Eucharist literally means thanksgiving. What if the way we approach this table was to see it as God in Christ making a deposit into our very bodies where we can taste and start looking for reasons for gratitude around us, to live in a place of gratitude? I think we need a lot of signs like this in our life to be reminded to return to that place. So that's the first takeaway. Come to communion today. The second is leaving here. I'd like you to enter that experiment I've challenged the children to. What if you and I made time each day to focus on the place of gratitude? And you might find that short list that we always come up with so easily, oh, I'm thankful that I have family and my health and I live in the freedom of this good old USA. What if we drilled down to deeper reasons about gratitude? Because sometimes reasons to give gratitude are not the easy things. It might be something that is truly a challenging relationship in our life. Or maybe what we could be brought to is to have gratitude for something that helps someone else that I'm not involved in at all. But I ask you to try on that experiment. As families, as you're single, wherever your housing arrangements are, try that. There's some journals in the back, some simple gratitude journals that will be next to the door in the receiving line. And there's a version where you can fill it out, one for each day, a daily guide, or one that's weekly, where you just have kind of one liner or one phrase for each day. Try that with me. It's the word of God. Amen.